Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Bij Burger King gebeuren spannende dingen. Wat dacht je van een classic cheeseburger, chicken nugget burger of sundae voor maar 1 euro per stuk? En dat is nog niet alles. Alle King deals zijn maar 1 euro. Haal ze nu alleen bij Burger King.
Good afternoon, welcome to the Royal Blue podcast. And the gang are back, the original midfield quartet. We've managed to resurrect Tony Scott from out of retirement, pull him back into the fold. Gav Buckland, Greg O'Keefe, Phil Kirkbride. We've got some things to get through before we start to look at the United game and preview that. We were trying to decide on what might be a relevant question, maybe away from the usual matters of formation and tactics and tearing our hair out over Ross Barkley and Romelu Lukaku. So we're wondering, could average, because this is what we've been at best this season, Everton still get into the Europa League? And the feeling is, if you look at the table, then yeah, Phil, isn't it? It's still on very much.
Yeah, I think if you look at, obviously Everton's start is what's propped them up effectively, but if you think of the run that they're on in the league, one winning eight games, and the way they're playing, very much is a possibility. And by virtue of the teams below them being bang average teams, I would say, and that's no disrespect to Watford, who, you know, probably will go and come back to haunt me this as we go there in the 7th and 10th where we get stuff in. But the point remains, though. Ronald said on Sunday, he said he wasn't worried about results, he was worried about performances. And I think he's not worried about results because of where Everton are.
Yeah.
And I think that's the case, isn't it? I think he's going, you know, privately gone, you know, we're probably quite fortunate to still be 7th and still only, yeah. Are we only a point behind United?
Is yeah. That, yeah.
You know, they've, you know, everybody's saying what a disastrous league season they're having, you know, and we're still only a point behind them. So if you'd have said come Christmas time you'd be a point behind United, I think you would have taken that, wouldn't you? But obviously, as we know, it's the performances which is the worry. But going back to the original question and the original point, that's why I think if we could, you know, given the way the league's gone so far and look at the teams below Everton and the teams chasing Everton, if you like, a distinctly average season in terms of performance could still yet yield European qualification, because 7th place could go down, could get you in the Europa League, depending on the League Cup and stuff. And so the target that he set from the start of the season of getting into the Europa League could actually be achieved, and yet the improvements on the pitch may have been, not negligible, but slight or marginal, not as transformative as we were maybe hoping for, yet the achievement would have been ticked off. So it's early days, but I think of the way, after 13 games, you look at the way the Premier League is starting to just shape up. The top four look like they're going to go off. You know, top five are going to go off. And then you look at United, Everton and the rest, and you just think, well, there's every chance, because Everton can't be much worse than they've been in the last two or three games. So the form's going to improve. Results will hopefully improve on the back of that. And you think, well, you know, still in touch now. Where could we be when he gets them going again?
You'd take that, wouldn't you, Tom?
Yeah, if... Just think for argument's sake here, we were to sign three or four really good players in January and Everton put four or five decent results together. Four or five wins. Would you, maybe I'm jumping a gun here, top four? Do you think that the way gone, the five teams?
I think the top four is too strong. I think the top four, five is established now.
I forgot to say the J word's banned in this podcast.
That's my opinion. Yeah. I think that the things are settling out now. Evening, and I think you look at that top four and you go, well, let's forget about that.
What a dreamer.
Yeah. Yeah. I harp on back to when Liverpool nearly won the league when they had Suarez and everything else. They didn't hit top of the league till like mid-Jan that year, and they were nowhere near the top four. And as soon as they hit January, they went on a run of about seven or eight games. Mm. It took them top of the league, and they never looked back since. And I just think, if you can hit five or six, I know it's easier said than done, don't get me wrong, especially the way we're playing. If you can do that, then, and especially if you beat a Tottenham or a Manchester City or a Chelsea, but obviously we yet to see it do, and there's a chance on Sundays, is there, isn't
it? It's easier said than done. I mean, I think I'll just be happy just to be in and around the Europa League places. I mean, Phil's right, I was looking
at the stats, you know, like the last 10 Premier League games played by everybody looking at the form, and the top five have won together virtually the same amount of games as the other 15 clubs in the Premier League. Because the top, basically, it's only the top five who really got any sort of form. All the rest are basically winning one, drawing one, losing two, or whatever. I mean, because of our goodish start, we're sort of there or thereabouts. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't want to talk about the J word or indeed players, but as we sit at the moment looking at the back our form, you know, over the last 7-8 games, I'm not scoring goals as well as the 6 goals. Do we look like a 7th place team at the moment?
But that's my thing. You, the perception of what a 7th place team should be, I think, goes out the window.
Okay, but do we expect anybody else in and around? Yeah, I know what you say. Any in around us or even below us to put a run together that will overtake us?
No one below us.
I don't see it, but then, you know, we haven't got the crystal ball, have we? But that's
who would you say?
Stoke are got a decent squad, but they're proving...
They can't string one. They're as bad as us.
That's exactly... They're inconsistent, aren't they? What makes me say, you know, we're finding it hard to find somebody below Everton. I mean, we're discounting Leicester, aren't we? Which is very disrespectful in that respect, given the defending champions. But they've... You know, they're struggling to balance Champions League. Yeah. You know, when they go out of the Champions League, if they go out of the Champions League, we'll probably see an upturn in their form. But I think for the time being, certainly, I don't see them doing anything particular. No. You know, so that's why I'm saying.
West Ham?
They've 1 point off the bottom three, aren't they?
They've got problems, haven't
Again,
they?
No, with the squad they've got. Yeah, if they turned it.
What we're saying, but that can what we can legitimately do. You know, go on a good run. You could say that about all the other teams below us, can't you, really? And there are some teams capable of who've got good players. I include Leicester in this, who are capable of going on a run. Leicester won't play Champions League now for, two, three months, is it, something like that?
How many teams below us have got a 25-goal season striking?
Oh, there he goes.
That's what I'm saying, because it matters. It matters, doesn't it?
It does matter.
Now, if any of them got a 25-goal-a-season man in their side...
No, but
there's a couple of teams in the top currently in the top four or five that haven't.
Well, that's the problem. But it's a squad game, isn't it? Yeah. And like the thing is, we should have like the equivalent of a swear box. Call it the J box. This is a squad game, isn't it? And we've got, without going into detail, because you know, we've been there before. I think we've. Our current form of the 13 games needs to be improved upon if we're to get in the Europa League, because I think other teams will pick up.
Right, then if that's the case, would you take Everton to finish 7th, where they are right now, but to have carried on the same performances, would you take that in May?
Oh, that's a good question, isn't it? Because it goes back to the point at the start, that whether Koeman's interested in performances or results at this stage.
It's a results business, isn't it?
It's difficult, isn't it? If 7th...
You take 7th and the way the performance is carrying on?
What you would say then, if you finish 7th, is an improvement on the last two seasons positionally? Yes. Yeah. And if 7th got us into Europe, it's, you know, we snuck in via virtue, you'd go, yeah, of course I would.
Yeah.
I think you'd then have to go, look, we've got through the first season of change, the new manager, and we've improved, at least in, you know, on the table front. Mm. You take that because you then go to Koeman, well, you look at the manager and go, look, in the next 2 years, he's going to now be able to get in more of the players he wants. Europa League would help, probably. Mm. It would be a foundation, maybe it would feel 12 months later than it should have been, but it would be a foundation to then kick on.
That's a massive improvement, Gav, isn't it, to jump from 11th to 7th in the space of one season. Surely you'd take that regardless of performances.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying I wouldn't take it. What point to, it's 19 points from 13 games, isn't it, which is, 57 points over the season, something like that, if you treble it. But we've got to get 40 points.
Blimey.
In the next 25 games. When you have a look at our fixtures, we've not played Liverpool home and away, we've not played Man United home and away.
Arsenal.
We've not played Arsenal home and away yet. Yeah. Mm. We've still got to go to Tottenham. You know, so that's 7 games out of but the form at the moment, to me, we don't look like we're 7th in the table, but we've won 1-8 and we're not a 7. That's not 7 in the table form, is it? Mm. And that's what we need to change. I don't think we can just say, oh, we're 7th now, so therefore we're good enough to be 7th. Change what we're doing at the moment.
What I would say on that is, to answer your question from my perspective, yes, I would definitely take 7th. But I don't think Koeman can afford too much to disregard performances, because that's what did, well, amongst other things, what did for Martinez, in a way. And all I'll say is about Southampton, well, we've gone over that on Monday, that was almost as bad for me as much of the stuff Martinez saved up last season. And therefore, Koeman's got to be a bit careful there, because we still lost. And but for the fact that, you know, it's his first season, the honeymoon's probably coming to its natural end, and there's far more things going for Everton this season than there were last season. He can't discredit performances. What he might cleverly get right, and he's shown signs of, is winning at Goodison or managing to get through games at Goodison. But nevertheless, yeah, I'll take 7th all day. But as Gav says, they need to improve to get there anyway.
All right, if I was to ask you at the start of the season, Greg, two main objectives for Koeman.
Yeah.
Improve on Everton's league position.
Yeah.
Get us round about the European spot.
Definitely, yeah.
And massively improvements on the home record. Now, he's done that, hasn't he?
He's in the process.
Right, the home records. We're unbeaten at home.
He is in the process of doing that.
I wouldn't say it's a job done yet. Let's see how we come through the next United, Arsenal, Liverpool. Let's get into the fixtures before we can say whether it's been.
We look more solid at home.
I totally agree. Yeah.
But I know we're saying about results, but I want to see the manager implementing his own brand of football, of, you know, his philosophy, for what don't mention the P word. You know, we'll be able to say anything on this year podcast. But in some respects, I'd rather see us finish, say, 9th or 10th, but finish the season strongly with a new brand of football.
You can see what
this is why we want to play for the next 2 years, than sort of just drift along aimlessly. Not aimlessly, just drift along.
But it's a results business, though, Gavin.
7th, 8th.
I'm
not sure this season. I'm not sure.
Is that not? I don't know. I mean, I'm picking up on Tony's point there. Was one of the big criticisms of Everton under Martinez, apart from the last sort of 3 or 4 months, play great stuff but don't know how to win games. If what I'm seeing is what Tony's saying is right in saying, do we not want to see a team that, yeah, might not play the most cohesive football going, but knows how to stay in games and get points?
Well, I'd expect them to do that as well with Koeman's brand of football. I mean, I don't want to draw comparisons across the park, but I think they are worth mentioning, because you brought up Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers 12-13, which is before the 13-14 campaign, they were pretty much bang average before Christmas, but at the end of that season you could see the style of play. Mm. You know, that he wanted to play the following year. And it was like Klopp last season. He came in, the results weren't great.
It was terrible. It was just as bad.
But you could see the brand of football that he wanted to play going forward. And, okay, in 12-13 and 15-16, I don't think, you know, Liverpool got him. Did they get into Europe? I'm not sure. In both seasons. But you could see the groundwork then being done for the following season when they kicked on in both campaigs, and that's really what I want to see.
I can see where you're coming from, Gab, but if he's asking the players to do this and to implement the way he wants them to play, and these players to me are refusing point blank to do it, then what more can he do?
They are, because you've regurgitated this over the last few podcasts. Yeah. You're saying things in black and white. It's all the players' fault. Koeman is taking none of the blame.
Koeman's got to be held responsible for results. That's the manager's. He takes it right on the chin. But what I'm trying to say is that you can see sometimes when he was making substitutions early doors in the first half an hour. Now, that's gone now. Yeah. So what he's trying to do is make sure it's coming from the start and it's not going. You've got bone and idle players at the moment. That's what it is. If you look at the squad now, the players who Everton have signed under Koeman, they've done quite well for me. I'd say Hassi Williams, Adissa Guy, Stechlenberg, and Balassi. Yeah. I'm happy with them four. It's the rest of the squad. You've got Moises, Deadwood, and Martinez as signings. That's the rest of the squad, and that's the trouble that you've got. So the 4 or 5 players he's bought, I'm happy with. It's the rest of it, for me, isn't good enough. So he can only implement the way he wants them to play. for them four signings that he's done. He can't train players or make sure they want the way they want to play if they don't want to do it. And you can see the attitudes on Delafeu, Morales, Barkley, them players, they don't want to know.
But isn't his job to make them want to
know? It is, obviously. But obviously it's not working. And he's only got the players that he basically chooses.
So he can't afford to just say, turn around and go, I can't do this. Got to wait till...
Yeah, that's what he's going to have to wait till, isn't he?
But
that's when we'll see five or six players.
Yeah, but tied up what you're saying is there about a team that's capable of getting to Europa League, then, from what you just said there, about attitude, about their own personal ambitions, whatever. Is that the type of thing you can say, well, like, that will still get us into the Europa League?
It probably will, because the rest of the league's that poor. It probably will, because you got off to a good start, shaky now, but because you've got, and I'm on about, you've got Lukaku in your team, where not many teams below you have got it. So that's why you probably will. You'll get round about 7th or 8th because you've got him, and if you didn't have him, you'd probably be where we finished last season.
Be interesting to, certainly maybe in a couple of weeks, for myself or whoever, to ask Ronald if he's had to reassess his target. Now, he gave the Europa League target after the window shut.
Yeah.
Just after the window shut, when the form was good, when he'd initially got that reaction. Now, the form has just fallen off a cliff since. And I think the reality of the task and the size of the task at hand and the overhaul he has to perform in the squad has become apparent. Maybe, a light's been shone on it a bit more now, and I think he maybe realises it's a bigger job. I wonder whether he actually wonders whether that is still realistic. I think it is, because of, as we said at the top of the piece, the quality of the teams below them. I don't know, be interested.
It's funny though, just picking up again, Phil, when you were saying that dilemma, and would you want a team that, alright, don't play brilliant flowing football but can be effective and get things done? The difficulty I've got with this recent run of results is we're doing neither. And that's what I meant when I say Koeman's got to be careful.
Yeah, I think, and I'm not mentioning that word, but I think that when we come through next month, and hopefully, touch wood, he has brought in a group of players that are more Ronald Koeman players. That then you add them to the four. He's already, that's 8, 9 new players. You're starting to reshape the spine. You're getting and if we finish the season with a squad that looks significantly different than it was, and we have finished seventh. Yeah, and even if the football isn't great, I'd be confident and comfortable knowing that, right, well, now he's going to get into them and it's going to be more of the players that will respond quicker and they know how he wants to play sooner, quicker, and you'll see an upsurge and better play the following season.
And that's what I mean. I would hope then you do see, like, the Koeman brand of football with the new players, because, as Tony said, the ones who've settled, done okay this season have been the players he's brought in, haven't they, really? And so it may not be possible to have a different brand of football with the current squad, but with a slightly modified or deeply modified squad in 2017, it will change. That's the priority for me. I'd put that ahead of finishing the Europa League.
It's interesting that we've all focused on, we feel, to greater and lesser extent, the Koeman's current players have been Koeman's players who he's brought in have been amongst the best performances. Let's look at one, Yannick Bolasie. Probably no one really covered themselves in glory on Monday, but Bolasie probably did enough to suggest that he was one of our better performers. Was he worth the money, Phil? £28 million, I think, was the fee, wasn't it? Was Yannick Bolasie, from what we've seen so far, worth the investment that Evan made in him?
Yeah, 25 and then rising to 28 through 30, we think, don't we? I was asked this question before the game, and I sort of said, well, my opinion sort of changes week to week with Yannick because of the type of player he is. One week he looks $1 million. The next week he looks, like he shouldn't be playing football, doesn't he? But then again, I thought about it more afterwards, and I thought, well, judging players on value, on the money that you spend to sign them now, almost becomes a redundant point, because it's all relative, and we keep saying it's paper money, and what did Mashiri call it, monopoly money or something?
Yeah.
He's not a £28 million footballer. In sort of, if looking back 10 years, if you said Yannick Bolasie's worth 20, you wouldn't. No, he's not. But that's what the market is. So I think gone are the days, unless you're paying 89 millions, 100 millions for a player, I don't think judging somebody on the amount of money you spent to sign them is a real relevant point anymore. It almost becomes outdated to say, oh, he's not a £28 million player. Well, of course he's not a £28 million player, but that's what we had to pay for him.
I said it's like house prices in London, isn't it? They're just completely meaningless, and that's what the transfer market's like, isn't it? I think the question is whether he's just a good sign, and I think...
Has he made an impact?
I think he's not done anything that I've been surprised about. Yeah, he's in and out, he's inconsistent, but actually, his head doesn't really go down. And as you say, in a really poor performance on Sunday, I thought he did okay. There was two or three things he did there that he had to go. And I wouldn't totally admonish him, but I think when he criticised on Sunday, I'd exclude him from that. And he did try really hard, and he produced two or three moments where actually, you think of that was okay. And what I say about him, whatever he plays, badly or poorly, however he plays, he will always affect the game. Two or three times in the game, however poor he is or doing well, there'll be two or three times where he'll do something, either set up a goal or do something unusual, like a near miss or whatever, you think actually that's what he's in the team for. And that's why I like him.
So Sunday was a great example. He'd been fairly quiet in the first half, then pinged in that beautiful cross that Ross, 50p head moment, and it just went off at mad angles. And then in the second half, he had a real go, and he drove through the heart of the defence.
I agree with Gav. Whichever performance you get him from, he will affect the game. He'll try. And he looks at me on Sunday, he said, he's the only one having a go here. And you're looking at all the other players, and they go, no, he's the one. Is he worth the money? Probably not at the moment, but if you were to ask me at the start of the season, when John Stones was sold, would you get this guy, Stekelenburg, Williams and Balassi with that money and still have money to spend? I would have taken that. So for me, I think I'm happy with Balassi, and he's the first on the team sheet, isn't he, of course? So, yeah, I'm really happy with him.
And there's Stekelenburg again, making a couple of important saves. To keep your side, well, we lost the match anyway, but to keep our chances of getting back into it as they were, plausible. Phil, you made the trip down there and coming back, and what was the feeling amongst the Blues who'd made that trip? I would imagine, because having to go, it's what, 4 hours in the car?
Yeah, about four, isn't it? It felt longer than
that. There can't be many more unrewarding journeys than going to watch your team. And then...
We've made a habit of it, haven't we? Apart from last season, which was, you were flying back, weren't you? It was just the fact that they conceded in 41 seconds, which is the real thing. And as we spoke about, performances haven't been... I mean, sorry to go over old ground, because I'm sure you covered it on Monday, but it's just, for me, it's the simple things. It's the lack of competing.
Yeah.
The lack of the stuff that you would take as a given from any footballer, any professional. Now, I said this to one of the lads the other day, Diego Costa scored a goal against Middlesbrough the other week, when I think a corner came in, the ball went up in the air, and he was the first person and the only person to react properly to the ball. There's nobody in that Everton team who would have done that, because Diego Costa has got the right mentality, the right attitude and the desire to go and sniff out half opportunities and make them into something. And that's what sets, and that is what is setting teams like Chelsea and Everton apart at the minute. And Ronald knows that, and he keeps saying it. But the message either isn't getting home anymore, because it did when he initially got a reaction, or the reaction gave him false hope and false ideas about his squad, and actually, consistently, they're not able to do it because it's not in them. It's just things like reacting to loose balls and 50-50s and ricochets. They're just looking at each other.
Yeah. They all looked at each other after the goal, didn't they? All the back four looking at each other. What's just happened?
It was Leighton Baines stopping the cross. It was Phil Jagielka yet again getting underneath the ball. Countless amounts of times.
Seamus Coleman.
And to be fair, we've just touched on Stekelenburg. He's done okay. The ball's in the 6-yard box there. He should be coming up and clattering and everyone taking the ball. So there's four errors there. Four individual players. Not good enough.
It's just basics. We all know when you're having a bad game at five-a-side or something and you can't string a pass together and you're shooting wide like I do every night. You just go, right, well, I'm just going to start working hard and tackling and trying 50-50s, to be useful to my team. So many players in that team on Sunday. It was almost embarrassing to sit there and watch it and go, I could compete better than this. At least have a go.
So regardless of the tactics there, as he hit rock bottom, with that formation and the tactics? Has he got to just rip it up on for Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. I think 4-2-3-1 obviously is not working for us.
Totally agree.
My preferred choice, which is assuming McCarthy's fit, is I'd play 4-3-3 with McCarthy.
Guy.
Yeah. Who would you be your top three? Well, we have that's the other band thing. You can't talk about the top three anymore. Like, you know,
it's Balassi, like, yeah, right. It's Balassi, Lukaku. Okay, who's the other one?
I don't know. I wouldn't.
Well, interestingly then, Gav, yeah. Who'd be your back four?
That's another good question, isn't it? Seamus is okay at the moment, isn't he? Not brilliant, but Funes Mori for Jags would be an obvious thing at the moment. I just think we're lacking pace and a bit of what Phil was saying there, a bit of, at the back, and left back at Baines. I just think that, I go back to, I thought City we played quite well with 4-3-3, and when McCarthy came on the second half, they said there's a bit of fluidity about us, which we've not really shown this season. And I think I'd like to see that, and we'll get McCarthy and Doug Gay further up the pitch when we're which happened a couple of times on Saturday to be on Sunday, I think.
Unfortunately,
but he's just getting in and around. Yeah. That's what I wanted to do, you know, because I think he's got it in his locker.
Phil, would this be a perfect time for Ronald Koeman to get the fans on back on sides again to introduce one or two youngsters in a big game?
Well, my feeling about the game Sunday and going forward for the next run of games is Ronald needs to solidify the team again, make us hard to beat. And what made us competitive and hard to beat in the early part of the season was basically 3-5-2 variation. First things first, we ain't getting beat. And going back to that, and I look back to that, I'm not saying he has to pick exactly the same team, but I'm looking back and thinking we had Holgate, Jags, Maury. You would maybe say, okay, we'll start with that, but swap Jags and Williams, hypothetically. Play your wing-backs, Bainsey, Coleman, because he was obviously injured when we were playing that way early on. Pack the midfield and just go. And, like, you know, the way we went to Old Trafford in August for the pre-season game, the first time we saw it, nullified United. I know it's different now and, you know, we're in the swing of the season, but I just think that is how Ron's got to approach it, because he's got to think, right, how did I get a reaction? How did we get results early on? Let's be hard to beat.
So my argument is about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was a perfect opportunity against Swansea at home to play Tom Davis, and he never did it. We got a bad result, we drew and everything else. Now, if that wasn't the perfect opportunity for me to play him in that game, then he's certainly not going to do it. Like, I was arguing with my dad during the week, and he was saying, he's got to play Davis, he's got to play Holgate, he's got nothing to lose, gets the crowds going. He said, look what happened to Liverpool during the week, play a couple of youngsters, gets the crowd going. Koeman, he can't lose if Davis was to play on Sunday, and he got rinsed everywhere by Pogba, and we got beat 4-5-0. No one had moan, because at least he's tried something different with the youngster.
Don't mind you picking him, Ronald, but you picked him in the wrong game. Why didn't you play him against Swansea? That's what people would say.
Well, people would say, if he's good enough, then why not play him in that? Maybe I'm playing devil's advocate. If he's good enough, but he can play in any match.
You said the ideal game for them to play was against
Swansea.
In my opinion. I think that's hard.
Well, Koeman might say, this is the perfect opportunity for them to play against Man United.
If you're going to play Davis, if you're going to play Tom, I think you've got to pack them in field.
4-3-3?
I think you've got to protect him. I think he's a great runner. You know, we've seen that. He's got loads of energy. But I think you've got to protect him. I don't think you could play him as a two. So there's your right. You've got to play at least a three. At least, you know, whether it's 3-5-2.
But 4-3-3?
And you put him next to Gazbaz and you just say, look, I'll guide you through this game. Don't you worry. Because the problem is, even 4-3-3 worries me that if he has to play one of the wide areas, you know, United could get round him maybe. Look, don't get me wrong, Tom could step up to the plate, couldn't he?
Yeah, we've seen Tom Davies play right back in pre-season.
Yes.
This season.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a difference though there, isn't it? I mean, the 4-3-3 or whatever is really, dare I say, another bond is where Ross will play within that or play that at all. As Man City,
are we back at the situation we were where he's probably not going to make the team again?
Yeah.
He's had his chance time and time again. And you know what? Yeah. He's massively at a crossroads coming towards this month. Massively, because next season he could easily end up on loan to a championship club. Easily. Because if he's not good enough to play in Everton's team, then he's not good enough for the squad. What's good having him on the bench? If he's not performing when he's been in the team, and he's not performing when he's coming off the bench, what good's he doing on the bench?
Yeah,
I wouldn't play him Sunday. My two would be Yannick and Rom. I'd play five across the middle, or, you know, that variation you're talking about. I'd play Barry, Guy, and then it's up, you know, spin a coin, Davis, Cleverley or McCarthy. I wouldn't have a problem with either of them.
Greg, would you argue Holgate should come in for Phil Jagielka?
I think so, yeah. I think I'd like to see Holgate back. I think that might be a way of restoring that early season sort of solidity. You know, we did well against Tottenham, albeit tired of it. I know he didn't play at the Etihad when we went in, but again, it would be a way of looking towards, you know, getting back to that, those basics, getting back to that sort of. It would have to be as in like a three, you know.
If you've got Seamus at right wing back, he's going to be tucking in for
you,
isn't he?
Exactly. Mm. I wouldn't sort of bring him in like for like in a 4, you know, 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
I wouldn't just swap him in that sense, but I would have him in the team if we were going to try something like going back to the basics.
So where are we going with Phil Jagielka now? Because it looks to me is if he's shot, confidence is shot. Now, I can understand his tackling isn't the best at the moment, and he's getting out-jumped by centre-halves who are basically the same... Sorry, centre-forwards who are the same size. Charlie Austin bullied him everywhere. Now, this is your captain here. And you need him to... Of anyone, if you're going through a rut like this, stands up, but he's not. He's quiet on the pitch.
I think he's in his own rut of form, isn't he?
Yeah.
If not finished, I think it's, and I hope, we said this on Monday, I hope it's probably one of the poorest runs of form he's had in his Everton career.
Because I've seen fans, they're going to turn on him, the way he's performing. Captain or not, and you've been there for 8 or 9 years, they will turn on him. So it's up to Koeman to maybe take him out the team and give someone else a go. Because obviously it's not working, is it?
It's always a bit difficult when it's the captain, though, isn't it? There's a slightly, in terms of taking him out the team, it's a bit of a harder decision than not the skipper. It's like Neville, wasn't it, under Moyes, you know, I suppose.
Gav, does he look unfit to you, Phil Jagielka?
I wouldn't say he's unfit, but he could look a bit sharper. But he could say that about a lot of the team. But, and I think that's reflecting in his sort of giving away a few penalties and being, as you say,
He's not getting out-jumped. He's missed time in his headers. The balls that are normal, average, bog-standard crosses in the box.
Interesting you say about headers, because after the West Ham game, when Murray came in, didn't he, for Jags, Koeman commented that Murray had given the team a bit more kind of dynamism in the air, which is interesting. Yeah. Now, he's got to weigh up whether he thinks that's how United are going to play. Are they going to be hitting diagonals to Ibrahimovic? Is that the way they're going to play?
Yeah.
And try and play off him, you know. So yeah, I still really like Jags. I think he's still got a lot to offer, but I just wonder whether the injury picked up with England has maybe affected him. I know straight after that was the City game. He played well, apart from the penalties.
He
played really well. But then the game after that was Burnley.
Yeah,
and he didn't have his best game. There's obviously some confidence issue with Jackson. Maybe he just needs to be taken out for a week or two, you know, get himself on the training ground, get fit, get his confidence back, because he's still a good defender. I don't believe anything else.
I worry about his mental state as well, because you know, without going into too much depth, I was made aware of a thing on Instagram where he'd responded to an Everton fan account who were having a bit of a cheap shot at him, really. We can all criticise him, but it was a bit of one of those memes that was unnecessary, really. But that's my opinion. And anyway, what I also think was unnecessary was Jags, apparently, because, you know, getting involved and putting it on his own Instagram, and I must say, it looks like it was subsequently deleted. But my fear is that if he's letting fan opinion on social media get into his head, then he's really starting to flounder, because you need... Difficult as it must be, listen, you know, it must be awful, but that's what the professional athlete's for, and it wouldn't be the first time he's been criticised, and it wouldn't be the first time he's played poorly for a run of games. You can't be listening too much to what fans are saying on Twitter. And
especially for the experience he's got, Greg.
Exactly. I mean, he's been through... He was made, unfairly, a scapegoat for England bombing out of tournaments.
Yeah.
He's bounced back, and it's not been his fault, and he's come back, and... So maybe I've got the wrong end of the stick with that Instagram thing, and he wasn't. It was just a bit of a hoax, and he wasn't even responding to it. I should add, but it looked as if initially he had. But I do fear, as you say, I really fear that it's just a day and age, the way football is these days. It might get quite personal and unpleasant.
Yeah. Well, Everton fans will turn because they want to see a winning football team, regardless of whether Phil Jagielka's in or not. They're not interested. They want to turn up on Sunday and see Everton win a match. And if Phil Jagielka's not in the team,
but isn't that Koeman's? They shouldn't turn it as much on Jags because if Koeman selects him again, and he provides the same level of display. Is that his fault or Koeman's? Because it wouldn't be funny lack of trying for Jagielka.
Or is it Funes Mori not doing enough in training to convince the manager?
But you've got Holgate as well. I mean, the other problem there is it's part of the defence is looking at age, isn't it, collectively, which does not help Jags. It's like James is, what, 28, Leighton's 32, Ashley Williams is 32 as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Even the Steck's 34, isn't he? So that's a hell of a lot of mileage there, isn't it? Like, you know. So I think
veterans football.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd be more worried if Martial was playing up front on Sunday than what Ibrahimovic.
Well, we saw that at Wembley, didn't we? Last season?
Exactly, and that was just the way
Besic at right back, mind you.
Jesus,
God, yeah,
Besic at right back.
Wipe that from my memory. God,
what happened? I'd be more worried if Man United had a bit of pace up front, but it looks as though they're just going to be having Ibrahimovic and then Rooney's now suspended, isn't he? Yeah. So. I think Phil Jagielka could probably get away with starting against Man United. If we were playing against, it was a derby match, and he had pace running all over him, then I'd worry, but maybe he'd get away with it if Zlatan's up front.
I think the derby at the moment is giving us all palpitations the way we're playing.
It is. It's just, how do you see Everton go finding holes in the Man United's defence, Phil? How do we get at them? Because I watched them last night and they were brilliant.
Really?
Yeah, they were brilliant.
I didn't see that game. Yeah, they were brilliant.
How many of that back four played? Did Rojo play?
Yeah.
Did he play centre-half?
Phil Jones played. He played really well.
What were West Ham like, though?
They played a changed team, didn't they?
Yeah, so, they made a lot of changes. But mind you, offensively, were really good. Rooney was on blob. Mm. So.
Well, I mean, without trying to be too negative about it and... I'd take 0-0. And I'm sorry, you know, people might go, wow.
Yeah.
I'd take a 0-0 on Sunday.
I get that.
You know,
yeah.
I totally would.
So that goes back to your tactics that he deploys, like the sort of safety first Tottenham
just
game.
Just wipe the slate clean from the past eight games. Let's go, right, that is not, we're not being entrenched in poor performances any longer. We're at home, we want to win, but we'll protect the Goodison home form that you spoke about, Tony. We won't get beat. I don't care if we don't score, we're not getting beat.
Is that your prediction then for tomorrow then, Phil?
Yeah? Oh, we'll move on to predictions.
Yeah, I agree, but it's the sense of defence is worrying me.
I'm not
scoring. Six goals in eight games.
So. Would you go with the likes of a Seamus Coleman in the right mid situation?
You mean
would
the
you change? Yeah, would you change it completely? Because obviously we were talking about ripping it up and starting again. Would you go with Coleman right mid, Holgate right back?
But in a
4-4-2, yeah. Or let's say 4, whatever it is. Basically, I think Coleman would add a bit more penetration and tackles and going forward.
Final ball, though.
I'll tell you what, in the final period of the games recently, Seamus has been Everton's most proactive player.
Right, yeah.
He's starting as slow as anybody, by the way.
Yeah.
But down the home straight, he's as effective as anybody.
But he's had a bit of bite, and that's what Everton haven't got. Especially Morales, De La Feu, Barkley. Okay. They won't throw a tackle.
Well, if you play don't go to tactics again, but if you play 4-4-2, play Seamus wide right.
Yeah.
Mm.
And who would you play wide left? And would you have Balassi and Lukaku up front?
You're left to problem, isn't it?
You know, so then you left. So that's where
Lennon, De La Feu,
that's right. that's where it's slightly imbalanced. Slightly imbalanced that for me, and then that leaves like you basically, apart from Balassi and Lukaku, you've only got two attacking players on the pitch. I think that's where, to me, 4-3-3 works better. I think 4-4-2 just doesn't work for me at all.
Does Lukaku's form? Does Lukaku's form worry anyone at the moment?
He's better at home, isn't he? Was that knocking about before the game, wasn't there? The end score. He's got one in last 13 away games or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not scored in seven games against United, has he?
It wouldn't surprise me. So, you know, infinitely more about tips than me, but I'd be interested to see what price he is because I fancy him to score on Sunday.
He'd be about 6-4, 7-4 to score.
But again,
11-2 to score the first goal.
As it's proven this season, if he's going to score, he needs to be supplied by Balassi, doesn't he?
Last year it was De La Feia, wasn't it?
I had some sympathy with him on Sunday. He was just nothing. There was no one near him at all.
There was that,
two or three crosses in the box. That, apart from that in 19 minutes, he had nothing. He was up against two of the best centre-halves in the division, in Van Dijk and Font. Yeah. He had no support, and add to that, on top of that, isolation.
I thought a lot of the service was poor, really, because Van Dijk was as fast as him. And they would just go, oh, we'll pump it into the channels, Rom loves it into the channels. Yeah, he does. But you've got to use your head, haven't you?
Because Van Dijk had a cigar out, honestly.
Did you see what Michael Ball was saying in his column, though, about how, from the restart, you've got Lukaku talking?
Yeah.
I think his focus, I think you're absolutely right, the service has been, and it probably is a bit of a chicken and egg thing, and they might go hand in hand. They shouldn't, because, again, professional footballers, but then, you know, in a perfect world, they'd all apply themselves and focus for 90 minutes. For me, that mental side of his game, that concentration, that focus, has often been one of his Achilles' heels. Where if you could just get him to be on it, regardless of circumstances, the atmosphere, how his teammates are playing, that's when you'll see, rightly, and I agree, his world-class finishing and elements of his game, running the defenders, come to the fore. But he too easily gets lost in the mire for me.
Don't you think it's not his attitude, it's just because he switches off because he's so isolated in games, he's getting
frustrated. That's what I'm saying. But I suppose what I mean is the very best don't do they? They keep going.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Costa, you go back to Costa, he wouldn't.
Yeah, but he's playing if you're playing and it's.
But he means even.
But I mean, regardless of how Chelsea are playing, you know, he will make something for himself.
I understand that, Phil, but he knows quite well there's a good chance of Hazard putting him through.
Yeah.
Oscar putting him through. Someone. Rom is not sure of that. He's looking behind him and he's got Ross Barkley there, he's got Morales over there, De La Feia over there. He's going, worry, lads, I'll take these three or four on. Now, I took a snapshot of the Lukaku was surrounded by four Southampton defenders on Sunday, and no one was bursting a gut to get into the box.
Yeah.
And Balassi was 25 yards behind him. What chance has he got?
Yeah, but I know what you're saying there, but we bought him for £27 million, and I think as a supporter, I'm entitled to see a bit more, dare I say, work rate from him on the pitch than what I saw on Sunday.
100%.
There was one bit, I was totally frustrating me. I think it was the first half, where I think Van Dijk nicked the ball off him and came to the near touchline. And Rom, he's there to be, should be pressing him or like trying to get the ball back. He just sort of lets what's Van Dijk wander away.
But I did.
And that's not good enough for me as a striker. Me. You know,
yeah, but I also did see Gavin. I did see him chasing down defenders on the far touchline. Yeah, it was in front of
Keane.
Yeah, and he was doing it. And that next minute, he turned round and the ball got chipped in the midfield. And there was no one there within 15 yards. 20. So what's the point in him chasing defenders down when he's looking behind him and no one else is doing it?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So wouldn't you get frustrated?
Yeah, you would.
Even if you're
playing
Sunday League or five-a-side.
I think that's the problem because they're not pressing as a team. And you'll get like the start of the second half, Ross went, nobody else did.
Yeah.
Guy will have gone, nobody else will have gone. Barry will have gone, and then he looks around, nobody else. They're not doing it together, they're doing it as individuals.
Yeah, yeah. It brings you back to another thing Borley said, is that they are playing like a team of individuals. Mm. They don't seem to, and I don't know whose fault this is, they don't seem to have that collective spirit, that will to win for each other. And it must be frustrating in that instance for Lukaku. Mm. As you said, in that instance for Barkley, you know, it's got, they've got to, I just don't know. I can't get away from what Gav said, and he nailed it weeks ago, that the J word and the futures of some of them is obviously in the back of
mind. I think with Rom is a bit of like the John Stones thing of last year, where actually they think they might be moving at the end of the year, and sort of John's form sort of tailed off, didn't it, after the bright start around this time of the year. And like Rom's has now, I think that's maybe part of the general malaise of the team, but don't want to see history repeat
itself. I think the situation with Rom, sorry Phil, is that he's got to score goals if he wants that move. Now, if he doesn't score goals, he's not getting a move in the summer.
I tell you what, I'll be watching as closely as I possibly can on Sunday. The warm-up of the team and the preparation and how, you know, what they look like. Does it look intense? Does it look like they're going to be hitting the ground running? Because I'd love to know what's said in the change rooms before the games, because, you know, jokingly kind of asked Ronald whether, you know, we need to get angry before matches, and he kind of laughed and said blah blah blah. But somebody needs to light a fire up them, because I know it seems very old fashioned and it's not in script with modern football, about, but who's having a go? This
the captain, isn't it? The captain should be doing this.
We had Dave Billows on a podcast the other week, and he was saying about under the Moyes era, you had Tim Cahill bouncing on, jumping so high in the changing room before the game at Goodison, he was knocking the lower ceiling, bits of chips of plasterboard coming off. Back in the day, you had Duncan going round grabbing players and firing them up. Who's doing that in the current Everton team? Maybe it is a lack of character, a lack of aggression, a lack of will to win that we're seeing on the pitch. Maybe there's no surprise, because I don't know who's doing that. Who's doing that?
You can't see Ross Barkley or Morales, that affair you.
Individuals.
Jack Gilker doing that.
You wouldn't not discount it that Ronald would be able to do that. I wouldn't be willing to do that, because he's lost his cool, hasn't he? And he said so. But so does he think it's the onus has to be on the team, and that if he can't go pointing the finger giving the hairdryer treatment before a game, it has to be on the players? I don't know. And you know what I think as well? I think if that filtered out and we were all made aware that that's how they were trying to sort this out, I think there'd be so much more backing. I think Sunday would be kind of, red hot.
You want to see that, yeah.
That's why I can see a sending off in this match. I think there's too much riding on it. I really do. I haven't checked it out. Who's the referee? Anyone checked?
Oliver.
To be fair, he's not
we'll
a bad
see
referee.
See Mourinho's get binned off again.
Yeah, I think there's too much riding on it in between fans and expecting Everton to at least put up a show after last week. There's too much riding on it for Man United as well, because they can't afford another defeat, can they? So I think
all comes back to my nil-nil.
That's right. They've only won one in their last seven Premier League games, United. Yeah. We've only won one of our last eight.
Has it been such an out of form game between these?
Up until last season, we'd won the last three at Goodison against Man United. As well.
I think we should bring Stephen Naismith back. He always scores against Pereira.
Wouldn't surprise me, because again, you're looking for someone to. Phil Neville didn't do much in terms of
rallying cry. We used to joke.
Definitely. Or even his on pitch version of it. It was very rarely something productive, if you like. But he did the tackle on Cristiano Ronaldo and stuff like that. I'm looking around thinking, who's going to do that? Probably someone like Seamus, who's actually.
He tried that at Chelsea. This is it.
But he did, and I think there's no coincidence he tried that, Phil, because I think that was him trying to implement Koeman.
I spoke to him about this actually last season. In the Chelsea Cup game, he did that. He put one in on Hazard, I think, early on. And I spoke to him afterwards, a couple of days after, and he said, Goodison likes to tackle. I think he needs to be reminding everybody of that on Sunday before the game. Goodison does like a tackle.
Does like a tackle, definitely. So whether it's him or Garner. But the problem is, more than ever, if you do that, there's a good chance, and all of us, as I agree with Tone, not the worst, good chance that you get an early bath after the first 5 minutes, and I don't know. You've got to try something, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. I just, because there's so much riding on it, it's on Sky, isn't it, as well? I'm just going to be watching both teams really suffering in form. I can see a sending off in the match, and I'll probably go with a 1-1 draw. I think that's what it'll
happen. Well, you've just jumped the gun, but we're going to get predictions in anyway. So I'm going to make you do it again, but we'll come round.
I'm going to change it.
We'll start with you, mate, Gav. What are you thinking?
1-1. I'm optimistically thinking 1-1. But I'm more interested in the atmosphere and the performance really on Sunday. Yeah. I want to see a big change from last Sunday.
Think there's going to be very wildly varying differentials on that score myself, but Phil, unless you...
I think the Sky Sports viewers will be disappointed, the neutrals, but it'll be 0-0. But as I say, people disagree with me, but I'll be happy with that.
Yeah.
Just a quickie, not being a 0-0 in the Premier League either, Goodison between the teams.
No?
No.
Okay.
Take that then.
Greg, big pressure.
I'm going to put this bottle of gin down. I'm going to predict Everton will win 1-0, Lukaku. Why change the stupidly optimistic habits of the last few weeks? I could just as easily see us getting beat, to be honest. I've just got a feeling, if nothing else, a bit of a hunch. I think Lukaku will score, and maybe the game in the week has took more out of United. If we do get that one explosive incident and the player manages to stay on the pitch, maybe Goodison will play its part, 1-0.
So, score draw. The 1-0, 2-0. But definitely, I can just see us end it off. I think the atmosphere is building up. It looks to me as if the Everton fans are looking for someone to, not blame, but looking for an excuse of why this is happening.
Looking for somebody to hang on to in a positive sense.
Definitely, yeah. So, I think there's too much riding on it for both football teams. And two sets of managers as well. So I can see an early shower for someone and score draw.
There you go. Well, all four of us will be there on Sunday at Goodison Park, and hopefully we'll all be back here on Monday to bring you all our analysis on Monday Night Podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Up the Blues.